Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I guess maybe we're out of them, but we had a pile of t-shirts to give away today. And, you know, it's great to see people come over and maybe you had to spin that wheel to win a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But just saw a guy walking by wearing it. Now we're talking. Like he went as far as to put the T-shirt on at the event. He had a shirt on underneath it, I'm pretty sure, but he went ahead and put the new T-shirt on.
Yeah, I don't think this gentleman walked in shirtless.
No, they wouldn't let you.
Yeah,
I don't think they would let you.
But yeah, I appreciate him representing.
Put it right on. He's better than carrying it.
Love it.
Yeah. Love it. Brandon Cooks, what a career! What an interesting career Brandon Cooks has had. Added to the Bills today. The signing was announced earlier.
The 53-man roster, by the way, just to clarify, not the practice squad. Like
yep.
He's
on the team.
There he is. Right.
There he is. There he will be, I think, probably, on Sunday.
I suppose, I mean, that's pretty quick.
Time's running out here.
But, yeah. Is that a sign that maybe Keon Coleman's return is not imminent?
Well, it's not a good sign for Coleman.
I mean, they did do very little on offense in the game on Thursday, unlike the first game that he was a healthy scratch for when they exploded for 44 points against Tampa. Excuse me. So maybe the door is open But well, does Brandon Cooks take that spot?
I mean, it wasn't 44 points. And out of 24 completions from Josh Allen in Houston, 12 were to wide receivers, and 8 of the 12 were to Shakir. 2 for Palmer, 1 for Davis, 1 for Elijah Moore that went negative yards. Like, Shakir had a nice night. That's a big game for him. 8 for 110. That's a very big game for him. But it's always the same
gonna
point.
Make a crack about it. It was great to see Shakir get all those air yards. Oh, wait. Those are all just long runs after catches. Really.
Yeah.
One on a lateral, even. I don't know what. How do those yards get allocated?
Lateral?
Yeah, the Palmer slash Shakir play that went for 44 yards.
I think it's a Palmer catch, and then it's rushing yards, maybe?
For Shakir?
No, it's not rushing yards. I don't know where they go, actually. Good question. But Palmer gets the catch.
Right.
Like, what's the Allen play against San Francisco, where Cooper caught the pass in the snow, and then lateraled to Allen, and he gets a receiving touchdown.
He gets a receiving touchdown.
But he doesn't get a reception.
Right. Nor did he get credit for throwing a touchdown pass, I think.
And he probably did.
I don't remember now.
Anyway.
Don't ask questions you don't know the answers to. Live on the radio. It's good to ask questions you don't know the answer to, like, you know, privately.
The Cooks won. We've had this same conversation so many times. Which is that it is, I mean, of course it has to be said, commendable that they're not just sitting on their hands when they don't have answers.
Right.
But then you go, well, what are the chances of this succeeding? Should this have been figured out in another way maybe a long time ago? We've had this over and over.
Yeah.
I thought, as you'll remember, I thought when the deadline came around, that the Bills would not be wide receiver hunting because of where they planted their flag, you know, through our morning show, actually. Yep. And I was wrong about that. And the word got out that it was Jalen Waddle and maybe a couple other guys that they were interested in.
Yep.
So clearly then they wanted to address it.
Right. Look,
and they still want to.
Improving the team took precedence over potentially looking bad to some fans and or media, I suppose. And to me, that's as it should be. You can be as fierce as you want to be about, you know, defiant in the face of criticism about choices you've made. But when you get more evidence, maybe even irrefutable evidence that, you know, I was on the wrong side of that, I'm gonna put my head down and move over there now. I think the Bills did do that. They didn't pull anything into the boat, which is all that really matters. So I'm not inclined. I'll give them credit for swallowing hard, swallowing pride, however you want to phrase it, if that's what it took, to explore the idea. But I'm barely giving you that because the object is to get something done, and they didn't. And now, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, is that where we are? But 3 weeks from the deadline?
Yep.
It's Brandon Cook's time. I mean, okay. Well, what are the chances that has any impact on this team in this season?
I think, I mean, there's got to be some.
Sure.
I don't know where he's at. I thought I knew last year where Cooper was, and that's a similar bet. They had to trade for Cooper, and this player was a free agent, Cooks, just having been released. But still, like, you got a guy, what was Cooper? Cooks is 32. Cooper was in that bracket.
30, 31, like, whatever. Yeah, he was 30-ish.
And I thought, you know, that this was a fine idea.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't been that long since Cooper had been, you know, kind of even dominant for Cleveland. But it just hit the wall, and the Bills got almost nothing out of Cooper. I haven't seen Brandon Cooks be anything like dominant in 5 years. But he was in Dallas last year. How can you play 10 games for Dallas and catch 26 passes? I mean, Dallas is Prescott's a kingmaker with his receivers.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you. He did have 8 touchdowns the year before. I can't tell you, like, that he is done or anything like that, but he wasn't getting anywhere with New Orleans. Their offense is pretty much anemic. Olave gets tons of targets there this year. That's worked out for fantasy, but Cook's season high this year for catches in a game is 3, and his season high in yards is 26, and those were both week 1. He's had 3 catches 3 other times.
Yeah, but I wonder if this is simply, well, I mean, availability matters, right? That this player was going to be on the open market. So it's not surprising that the Bills would be, you know, have their hand up. Oh, a receiver who's caught actual passes in the NFL, and maybe even lots of them over a long career, is available. We should kick tires. I wonder if it's because McDermott sounded so enamored of the speed that Mecole Hardman would offer them. And that, I mean, that there's a kick return and then there's a fumbled, but there was one deep throw, right, that did draw a cover, drew two guys. There was a very open receiver in the middle of the field, deep middle on that play. Anyway, that turned into IR. Like, we were wondering, how seriously is he hurt? You know, will he even be available against Houston? No, IR.
Was it a soft benching?
Yeah, I don't know. But
because of the fumble,
like,
but no.
He's four weeks, so, you know, that's on the back burner. I wonder if Cooks, if he even is that guy anymore. Like, Hardman is at least somewhat younger. I don't know. Like, he hasn't been around in the league since 2014 like Cooks has been. But Cooks was 4.33 coming out of college. Now, again, that's 12 years ago.
Yes, it is.
That's a significant amount of time.
Oregon State.
But I wonder if he can still run, if that's it. It's not to replace Hardman's returnability. I looked at this. Cooks has not returned a punt or a kick since his second year in the league in New Orleans. So it's not. It is not that. That is not someone that they're counting on to do that. But it could be just to, here, we're going to put you on the field for 5 plays. Go bring the safety with you. And if the safety doesn't come, maybe he'll throw it to you. But ideally, maybe he brings the safety with you and Khalil Shakir is open 25 yards downfield because of it.
Man,
maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's worth a try.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
There's something really, maybe obviously, telling about that. Just to get to week 13. And what you're trying to do, what that sounds like is you're trying to almost restructure your offense. You're trying to fit in a new threat that can make a lot of other things or some other things easier. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, geez, it's pretty late.
It is.
To be at the point where they just do not have it figured out through the air. I mean, You don't have to only throw to receivers. I mean, that there's tight ends and running backs in that box score, too, from the Houston game. But 4 passes were complete to wide receivers not named Shakir in that game. And where did you end up, you know, scoring?
Not 19. Enough. 19 points. Yeah, I mean, it is you already said it. I don't want to, like, necessarily say the same thing, but just using some slightly different words. But
that's what we do.
I give them credit for trying to do something, but it is a – it's almost embarrassing that a team that a week ago was third or fourth in the Super Bowl odds, they're down a bit now. They're tied with Denver for, like, 8th best at FanDuel as of yesterday. I didn't look today.
I looked at that today.
Like, for a team that's it's another piece of evidence. I got a lot of this yesterday, just talking about where, you know, vibe check, where are we? Like, are we full on panic? You know, I feel like I want to kiss the division goodbye, thus the 1 seed goodbye. Now it's just about to, like, get in, and I still feel pretty decent about that, but they're not that good. Well, you know what a team that's not that good does? They signed Brandon Cooks 2 days before Thanksgiving. And not just to take him out for a spin. I mean, they put him right on the roster and, like, come on down. Can he run? Okay, you're on the team. And that is a level of desperation that I just don't feel like you should expect from a contending level team. And circle back, does that make you question whether they're still a contending level team because we thought so in September?
Well, the answer has to be yes. And really, what matters to that? What they think? Because this is not a move you make if you're out of it. I mean,
right.
There's no point. So, and you know,
and they're definitely not out of it.
They're not out of it. I mean, I'm not sure I can think of receivers for this, but you know, Kansas City went and signed LeSean McCoy that one time when it was the season, regular season might have even been over when they did that. It was super late. The Ravens and Dalvin Cook, was that even last year or 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago when they were in the AFC Championship. I think Dalvin Cook showed up. Just, you know, let's just see. Did the Bills not have Devontae Freeman here for a minute, too, in the same sort of way, like depth? This is not that, but, you know, that if you're alive.
That's fair. Like, the Chiefs, when did they – didn't they bring MBS back last year?
Okay.
And he caught, like, a 40-yard pass against the Bills in the playoff game, I think.
2 years ago.
2 years ago it was? Okay.
Because it was here.
But, yeah, that's the kind of thing, though. Like, that, yeah, because he had been here and then was – whatever. Yeah, okay. I mean –
he had a couple of big catches, and it made us crazy.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
Right. So I guess it's not as I want to walk back. You know what I was pretty harsh a minute ago. That's embarrassing.
Well, you know what you mean though.
You got a problem. You got to try to solve it. And whatever people are going to snicker at you along the way, I think you just got to put your head down and live with it because you're in a mess you made. You do not have enough at that position, Kofi. Figure, God, it was really hard not to swear there for some reason. Just go figure.
It's that F.
Yes, I really wanted it.
You got to the F.
Now I needed you all to know, in case you didn't pick up on it, that I really wanted it. They didn't have enough. And so it's Brandon Cook's time.
It is Brandon Cook's time indeed. The Bills are ninth in the Super Bowl odds, as you mentioned. Above New England.
Yes, right. I did
not by
that.
Much.
Right.
But above New England, what does that say? It says, it's obvious what it says. We don't really trust you yet.
We don't believe you yet. Right.
We don't trust New England yet. And we do trust the Bills and their playoff experience. And there's no, I mean, this is such a big part of it. Like, there's no team in the AFC that's so obviously, like, too good for them. Right? I mean, that's what's making this year so much fun. It's not fun to lose, but you don't have the Chiefs or the Ravens, namely,
right,
like, above you, that we'd be, you know, maybe pessimistic about seeing the Bills beat. Still could end up being that matchup, one of those matchups, though. The Chiefs have work to do. Well, the Ravens, too, but the Chiefs have work to do to get in.
Right. The Ravens have the luxury of not having a 9-win team ahead of them in their division, or even a 7-win team ahead of them in their division. That's what the Chiefs are dealing with the Broncos and Chargers, respectively. Yeah, what the Ravens had to do was run down Pittsburgh, who, you know, I don't think anyone really expected to be leading a division, and they were, and now it's over, and I predict it doesn't switch back. It could, I suppose. You make the right point when we did it was today, right? Reverse AFC power rankings.
It was today.
Yeah. The Ravens, Jackson does not look right. He's getting sacked, which means he does not have, I think, the legs to get away as efficiently and effectively as he has in the past. So he's gettable, and maybe that'll cost them when they play Pittsburgh. And you know, but they've got the spot for now, and I would, I guess, expect them to hold the spot.
His rushing, I think I saw against the Jets, was 7 for 11. I mean, it's 7, but
yeah,
7. Lamar Jackson,
7 for 11 is like Drew Bledsoe.
7 for 11. Well, if Bledsoe like just got drunk and decided he was going to run 7 times in a game, he didn't have to be drunk. Doesn't mean anything. He decided I'm going to run 7 times in this game. So. 7 for 11 from Jackson is just not what you're used to.
No.
Like
7 for 57.
It's, yeah, that's right.
More like it.
7 for 100. The Patriots thing is interesting, though. Like, it's really the schedule, and I don't think maybe experience means as much to this, but they are getting pretty close to a home field, if not a bye also, What did you get yesterday in that sense from people about how this is all going? Did you get panic? Did you get...
I got more, they're not that good. You know, it's one of these... I quickly put out a tweet before the show and said something, the wording was like, looking good for a wild card spot. And that maybe got the most pushback of anything, because it's like, well, if they lose this game to Pittsburgh on Sunday, they're not even going to be in a spot anymore. So what do you mean they're looking good for? I guess I'm telling on myself that I'm not that worried about Pittsburgh. You know, I think the Bills have got, they've got six games left, and I think 4-2, they are coasting into the, well, they wouldn't be coasting, you've got to win four of these six games. 4-2, they're in for sure. It might even be 3-3 gets them there. That's 10-7. I mean, you might be sweating some stuff. So, but mostly there was more of that than I was anticipating. More, they're in real trouble to even make it. And I don't really feel that. And again, it might have been because of the wording, the way, well, I worded that. But that was revealing how I feel. I feel like they're in a good spot for a wild card. And they're still, like, in a lot of models, like 90% to make it.
Right.
So that's what I'm basing that on. And a lot of the pushback was, are you sure they're that good? And, you know, I know it's a different conversation. If they lose this game Sunday to Pittsburgh, they're behind Pittsburgh. And, like, it's, you know, the tiebreaker stuff's going to get pretty ugly pretty quick. So it's a big game on Sunday for them. Really, both teams.
They'll have lost in that scenario to Pittsburgh and Houston. And Houston could end up 7-5. They have the Colts, but still, like, they're a game behind the Bills with that head-to-head win.
Yep.
The Bills are going to be favored in 4 out of 6 games left, at least. They're favored this week, 3.5. I'm sort of how I felt about Houston and Atlanta and Miami, these other games, the other road games, where I'm just, like, not inclined to give points. Mm-hmm. They're losing these games now,
but
this year.
But they'll be favored against the Bengals.
They'll be favored in all their games except maybe not New England, but they could be underdogs in New England. Sam thought they'd be favored in New England when we talked to him last time. And then Philadelphia has a chance to be. But they could be favored 6 out of 6, too.
Yep.
New England has the Giants at home on Monday night. They got to be, is that double digits? No. 7.5. Interesting. Well, that speaks to the point. New England is not blowing teams out. And even though they're winning, they're not a team that's getting, like, the most respect
right in
the odds. They were a big favorite against the Jets, and they didn't cover it. Or they right about a push that game, right? The Thursday night game, 2 games ago. Anyway, Brandon Cooks signed to the Bills roster. If you have a thought on that, we would like to hear it. 803-0550. We're at KeyBank Center today. It's the Sabres and Roswell Park's prostate cancer screening event that runs until 7. And walk-ins are welcome until 6:30. So even if you don't have an appointment, you still got a little more than an hour to get down here. We'll take a break for the update, then talk some more. Paul will join us at 6 on the Sabres. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The more that you force this defense to really communicate and pass things off in concept, you can rip them. Three-level concepts can rip them. And so it's a secondary that just has not played at a high level. I would tell you as a run defense, has not played at a high level. The more you motion and run the football at the same time, you can rip off runs against this defense. So there's a lot schematically you can take advantage of.
Dan Orlovsky on the Bills. Bills and Steelers on Sunday. And off a loss to Will Anderson, a Danielle Hunter wrecking the Bills' line, and Josh Allen. Now you get a couple of other good pass rushers, although TJ Watt is not the same player that he was a couple of years ago. Still pretty good, but we'll see what we get. We'll preview that game plenty more as the week progresses. We're obviously off tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll get to your phone calls a little bit later on. Want to get a scoop on Brandon Cooks here from Marcus Mosher. He joins us now on the Wesher Hotline, Locked On Cowboys. Covers the league overall as well. Marcus, Joe, thanks for hanging out, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. I'm excited to talk with you guys. My Bills fans are very, very down on this team right now, so at least we have something to maybe get them excited going into week 13.
Yeah, 7-4, but it doesn't feel right. It looked good against Tampa, but otherwise, yeah, it hasn't looked good. I think we are constantly fighting about what is the best, you know, surrounding or life for Josh Allen to live. It's, you know, you're still adjusting, even though we're a few years into this, of having an elite quarterback.
Yeah, and it's, you know, these are the ebbs and flows that you have when you go through, you know, having a guy like this. And ultimately, you're just hoping that you can surround him with the right talent. And obviously, Buffalo and Brandon Bean, they're hoping that someone like Brandon Cooks can help take them to the next level.
Yeah, so the reason I got you on to talk about Cooks, to try to figure out what's left in the tank. He was a very good player for a very long time. And I don't know, this year in New Orleans, Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, I just don't know how much, and also the ball just goes right to Chris Olave every play. So I don't know how much you could really get from New Orleans. Dallas, meanwhile, great quarterback, good offense over the last couple of years. So from your vantage point, last two seasons, how much does Cooks and how much did Cooks have left in the tank when he was in Dallas?
Yeah, and we should mention during the 2024 season, a lot of that year was with Cooper Rush because Dak Prescott injured his hamstring middle part of the season, did not return. So he has not played with great quarterbacks over the last 2 years. And I'll start with the positives here. I mean, he is one of the best professionals that you could have at that position. He taught CeeDee Lamb so much about like diet and how to sleep and how to travel and how to get your body ready. So having a player like that in the locker room with this pretty young wide receiver core, I do think that's going to help a lot. There's just something about him that that people love, right? And he is one of the best practice players you'll ever see. I think the issue with him now is he just isn't as quick as he was back when he was with the Saints or with the Patriots. He's definitely slowing down, and he's not somebody that you want trying to make plays down the field because he's maybe 5'9", 180 pounds. So his best part of his game is the short to intermediate stuff. And this is my only issue, is that I think a lot of the ways that he wins are in similar ways that like Khalil Shakir wins. It feels pretty redundant, and that's my concern here with Cooks joining the Bills.
That's different than, for you, what he would have been at his best. Because when he was flying around for the Rams and the Saints and knew, I mean, he was everywhere, right? It was a lot of, I mean, it was route running, short intermediate, but there were big plays down the field too.
Yeah, and you saw that the last couple of years in Dallas. Like, on the outside, he just couldn't separate from these cornerbacks. So the way that the Cowboys tried to use him was, you know, use him on these comeback routes and on quick slants and stuff where he can use his quickness to create quick separation. He's never been a big guy at making plays after the catch, and that's really kind of evaporated over the last couple of years. But again, he still knows where he's supposed to be. He can run routes as good as anybody else in the NFL. It's just that you're not going to be creating these big plays like you saw back in 2014, 2015.
Marcus Mosher with us on the Wester Hotline. The last thing on Cooks, the thing you said about him being professional and, you know, maybe like leadership type stuff, the current environment around Keon Coleman feels like, with Gabe Davis back and now maybe Cooks, they're trying to help him out as much as possible. At least someone that could kind of show him like how you're supposed to do it in the league.
And honestly, I couldn't think of a better player in the league to do it than Brandon Cooks, who has played with how many different Hall of Fame quarterbacks? I mean, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, he played with Dak Prescott for a while. I mean, he's just got a really good track record, you know, of being in winning organizations. And again, I can't stress enough how big of an influence he was on CeeDee Lamb. You're hoping that some of that rubs off on Keon Coleman. I don't know how much you can do, you know, when you're already three quarters of the way through the season, but I don't think it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion on the Bills receiving room as a whole now and how it shapes up? Because if Coleman was having trouble getting a jersey before they signed Cooks, and Davis is going to come back to the roster at some point, I don't know. Is that a fatal flaw of the Bills for you when it comes to whether they can win or not in the playoffs?
Well, the answer to your first question, it's bad. I mean, it's really, really bad. You watch these games on Sunday, and it's shocking how bad their wide receiver core is compared to the rest of the NFL. But when you have a superstar quarterback like Josh Allen, you can mitigate some of that. But when Dalton Kincaid's out of the lineup, you really see just how weak this room is and how little they add value to the offense. There's just nobody on this team outside of Shakir, and he's pretty clearly not 100%. That makes plays after the catch. There's nobody that you trust to get open in one-on-one situations. I think you could be looking at this, you know, team in 2026, and the only wide receiver who's back is Khalil Shakir, because I think this room needs an entire, you know, complete makeover.
Yeah. Marcus Mosher with us. Very quickly on tomorrow's game in Dallas right now, Bills fans will be rooting for the Cowboys. I mean, the whole AFC would love to see the Chiefs somehow find a way to miss the playoffs. Tomorrow in Dallas, Mahomes has never played there, right? The Cowboys beating the Eagles, I don't know, how open should we be to Dallas pulling off an upset? Not that they're a huge underdog, but what do you think their chances are tomorrow?
First off, I'm sorry, Buffalo fans, that you have to root for this Cowboys team. It's not fun.
Yep.
As somebody who does it week in and week out, it's not that enjoyable. However, Cowboys played pretty good against Philadelphia. They allowed 107 yards in the last eight possessions. They never let Philly cross their 40-yard line. They were pretty dominant on defense in that outing. This Chiefs team is pretty old. They had 90 plays on offense 4 days ago. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys keep this game pretty interesting going into the fourth quarter. And if you're a Bills fan, that's all you could ask for.
Yeah. It's funny you said, like, not as enjoyable for Cowboy fans, because I'm enjoying watching them all year because every game feels like it's just to the wall, tons of points, no defense, although maybe their defense is starting to improve a little bit.
Well, it's the same as, like, you know, me, a Cowboy fan who roots for Buffalo every single week. I'm not quite as emotionally invested in it as, you know, everybody else is, but it's fun watching Josh Allen. I think for Cowboys fans, there's just such inconsistency with his team, which is not that dissimilar from Buffalo, where some weeks the defense looks really good, some weeks the offense looks really good. They just haven't been able to put it together outside of a second half against Philadelphia. They're pretty clearly hoping that things change, you know, over the next six games. Not super optimistic that that happens, but we'll see.
Last thing, will they keep Pickens? Or what happens with Pickens, I guess? Do they pay him franchise tag?
The plan is to keep him long-term. Now, long-term for them is like maybe a three-year deal. I think they want to date George Pickens rather than marry him. And maybe that's where we get a couple franchise tags. But this is clearly somebody they want to keep for the next couple of years. They have this window that they're looking at, 2026, 2027, and he's going to be a part of it.
Marcus Mosher with us. Thank you, Marcus. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Check out Locked On Cowboys. You want more on Dallas? He's also a good follow just for all around the league stuff. Marcus Mosher at Marcus_Mosher. Brandon Cooks, don't love what I heard there. These more redundancy. Dallas, over the last 2 years, not using him as much as the perimeter downfield weapon. That's kind of what the Bills need. I guess really what I'm just, and this just goes back to just draft one, right? What I'm itching for from the Bills is be the team that just has some out of nowhere young receiver with speed that just shows up and gives you something. And they've had that happen before. Robert Foster did that for a year. Gabe Davis, as a fourth-round pick, did that. And their roster right now is just made up of all guys that you're pretty sure you've already seen the best of. And even Shavers, you might think Shavers is like the answer to, well, he's kind of that. He's the same age as Gabe Davis. He's been around a long time. But he is kind of that. But Brandon Cooks, you know you've already seen his best. Curtis Samuel, you know you've already seen his best. Elijah Moore, you're pretty sure you've seen his best. Palmer, maybe you've seen his best. Where's the Jalen Naylor on this team? I don't even need a star. Where is the Adonai Mitchell starting to do it for the Jets now? Where is the Torrey Horton? The Tampa has one of these guys every week. Tez Johnson. Where's that guy? It's tough to have that guy when your entire depth chart is guys that are on their second or third team and are 26, 27, 28, 29 years old. They just don't have the 22, 23-year-old that I don't want to look up a guy's 40 time and wonder how close he still is to that. I want to look up a guy's 40 time and know, like, that's about what it is. Brandon Cooks, 4.33. I'm sure it's nowhere near that right now. He ran that, like, in 1985, basically. But not even on the practice squad, right? Steven Gosnell would be the answer to that question. But I don't know. Marcus said they need an overhaul. What do we think about that point, that question? How many different receivers next year? Like, how many guys right now are we saying, yeah, this is it for them? They are not a part of this team going forward. That they'll ride out this year, get the most they can, and then that's it. It's definitely Cooks. It's definitely Curtis Samuel. It's definitely Elijah Moore.
Keon?
Keon. I don't think Keon's on this team next year. And Palmer is probably back. So Palmer and Shakir are probably back. So do I have five new wide receivers on the active roster next year?
Would Shavers stick around?
Four. Shavers would be back. Four new ones? Or are they going to bring Gabe Davis back again? He is only 26.
I mean, maybe you do. Might be a reliable target on the outside kind of a thing.
Three or four. All right, I worked my way to three or four. I'm going to say four. Four new receivers on this team next year. Have three of them be under the age of 25, please. Some youth somewhere. 803-0550 is the phone number. We had some Brandon Cooks talk today, some Thanksgiving food talk. We began the show talking about Kansas City and how they are still in tough after beating the Colts. They have, I mean, most places you look, they'll have like a 55, 56% chance of making the postseason. But at 6-5, they are behind Pittsburgh and Houston, who are not even in playoff spots. And then Bills, Jaguars, Chargers. So they're a game back of all those teams. They have no tiebreakers. None. Head-to-head, they've lost to the Chargers, they've lost to the Jaguars, they've lost to the Bills, and their conference record being 3-4 makes it so that if any three-way tie comes around, that you're going to see them lose out on that. And I don't... They're one game back of the Bills for that, and everybody else, they're too far away. And I guess, whose spot are they going to take? Right now, of the seven, I think Jacksonville seems to be this team. Everyone thinks the Jags will fall out. They're 7-4. They're just not really great at anything, Jacksonville. It would be very odd if the Jags made it and the Chiefs didn't. Or even the Texans didn't. Because while Houston stinks on offense, we all just saw it firsthand. We know they are elite at something. Defense, overall. And especially rushing the passer. Jacksonville, just like... I don't know. And then the Chargers are maybe not too far away from that. These two teams, they're perennially just the same. It's, oh, they might make it. They might not. They should be better than they are. Their quarterbacks are super talented. Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. And yet, nobody takes them seriously. And probably never will. Could you imagine ever taking the Chargers or the Jaguars seriously? Like right now, if I made a bet for the remainder of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert's career, between the two, zero Super Bowl appearances, how would that feel as a bet? Likely to hit? Or would you take the other side? Would you bet right now, I give you both of them, all they got to do is make it one time? Would you take that bet?
I think Herbert might pop one appearance at least.
Herbert?
I think Herbert would be the one, not...
On the Chargers?
Oh, now that's the question.
You need him to do his Jack Eichel impression and get somewhere else? Listen, if he got to Minnesota somehow, he'd make it next year.
Oh, 100%.
I need to see the Vikings get a good quarterback. That is a great team that is being ruined by the worst quarterback we've seen in 25 years other than Jamarcus Russell. Ruined. If they had anybody, the coach is great, the receivers are great, the defense is great, worst quarterback in the league.
Kevin O'Connell's got to be the most tired man on the planet.
Can you imagine moving on from Sam Darnold, dooming your franchise pretty much?
Right.
Like, I would not have had that on my bingo card.
No.
They should do the thing. They should be the most aggressive team in the world this summer. Like, yeah. Go get Dak. They might say no. Go offer the Chargers 3 first-round picks for Justin Herbert. Just see what they say.
Try and get George Pickens, too.
Maybe Harbaugh thinks he can fix his college guy, McCarthy. Just he can have him
right
for free. Go offer... Who else could be poached? That's the thing. If you're Minnesota, they're the most interesting team in the league for me between now and next season. Like, for the offseason more so. But it's because they have a team that can win a Super Bowl right now. But they need the quarterback. And Rodgers? They're going to be pretty limited to get one. Rodgers. Rodgers wanted to go there this year, and right. They said no.
Yeah, he could complete the Brett Favre. He can end in Minnesota.
That would be better. That'd be a lot better. Might be the best they could hope to get. Who else could they get their hit? Mac Jones is the name I always come back to, but I'm thinking even above that. Who's poachable?
Kyler Murray's going to get out of Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
But that might be a disaster.
Woof.
But...
It's better.
It's right. It's better than McCarthy is.
It's definitely better.
Could O'Connell extract whatever is left of that Murray magic?
What did Daniel Jones sign with the Colts? Although him in Minnesota, Minnesota wanted him to be the backup.
Right.
He did only sign a 1-year deal. Colts will franchise tag him.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence?
Mm.
Oh, is he poachable?
It depends what the new coach thinks of him. Yeah. I don't know what Liam Cohen and Gladstone, the GM, I don't know what they think of him. but it's possible they could think we could do better than this.
There have been moments this year where Cohen has been clearly frustrated by Lawrence.
And Lawrence is waving him off.
Yeah.
All like that.
There's been some tension there for sure. But not that there's not, you know, Josh Allen just yelled, "What are we doing?" on the Bills sidelines.
Call the Bengals. See if Burrow's upset. See if Burrow's mad at them because they stink all the time and they don't spend money. See if you can entice. I would tamper. I would do risk punishment. I would do it all. Break the rules. Get to Burrow and convince him you need to ask for a trade. You're going to come here and we're going to win the Super Bowl next season.
Yeah, if O'Connell got his hands on Burrow,
there you go.
That's what I would do.
If I were the GM, I would be willing to get banned from the league.
Yeah.
Go all out, all the spy equipment I need. Just go get to Burrow and convince him you need to be a Viking next year.
You just can't trust that front office, though, to do anything to help that team. That's where we're at.
No. Cincy?
Yeah, Cincinnati. The Hendrickson debacle.
All from
signing Jamar Chase.
Like, 3 firsts, 3 seconds. Let's go win the Super Bowl. Burrow. This is where I would be if I was Minnesota. I said earlier I'd be losing my mind if I was in Pittsburgh because Tomlin is just the worst.
Do they squeeze
in Minnesota? I'd be losing my mind for a different reason. It's because I would think I could win it. I just don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, you don't have the missing piece
at all, and I probably am going to have a really tough time getting one.
Do they try and get Flacco and squeeze the last little bit out of him they can?
See, these are the ideas that would make me want to fight people.
Yeah.
I'm desperate for Flacco. When we come back, we will be off tomorrow, and there's football, which I believe means we should throw together a Thursday three-leg parlay.
Oh, yeah.
The risk of that is if we win it without Jeremy, it's not a good look for him. It suddenly becomes an addition by subtraction conversation. We'll get to our parlay when we come back.
I'm a football player, and if I get hurt, I'm going to go through the rehab process, and then I'm going to let everybody know when I feel like I can go out there and play. I don't really know what else to say about that. I'm not going to ever go to somebody and say, yeah, I'm healthy, but I don't think I should go out there and play. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not going to live my life and play this game scared of something happening. Like, yeah, something's going to happen. It's football. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get concussions. You're going to break bones, tear ligaments. It's a physical, intense game. That's part of this. Yeah, I've had injuries. There's not a lot I can do about that. I work really hard to have that not happen. But what I can do is when it does happen, I can control how I'm attacking my rehab and attacking practice and doing everything in my power to get back as quickly as possible.
That is Joe Burrow. He's coming back, even though they're 3-8, and they have a 1% chance by ESPN Analytics to make the postseason. By the way, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, good morning. Jeremy's off this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. It's Jeremy and Joe. We got Marcus Mosher coming up at 9. We'll watch like every snap. Brandon Cooks played in Dallas the last 2 years, so we'll get a scoop on what the Bills are getting in Cooks from him. Burrow there, and by the way, we'll also take your phone calls. 803-0550 is the phone number. Burrow, everything he said there, completely understandable, completely acceptable. He's a player. He's a competitive quarterback, winner. Like, he's going to want to play. That is when it is time for a strong organization to step in and say, and basically protect him from himself. You need that because it is pointless to have him come back and play. Especially with someone that's had as many injuries as he has had, to risk another one makes no sense at all. But the Bengals are not a strong organization. So, you know, are they supposed to do it? They also might feel like, even if it's the right thing to do, that they wouldn't do it. Because if you're Cincinnati, you're always tiptoeing around Burrow and Chase and Higgins to make sure that they're not ready to depart. And that's their own doing. It's because they don't spend money and they're not committed to winning like other franchises are. And you almost have to kind of shield your star players from that truth And if it becomes a little bit too obvious that that is your motivation, then, you know, you kind of have to let the guy do what he wants. But I think if you were a Kansas City, a Buffalo, a Baltimore, and you were in the position that Cincinnati is in, you're 3-8, and your injury-prone quarterback is trying to come back to play meaningless football games at the end, he's going to want to. He's a guy. Allen would want to. Mahomes would want to. Lamar would want to. You gotta protect your guy from that when your season is at this stage. If you had 5 wins, you're 5-6, and you had a 15% chance of making it still, go ahead. Give it a shot. But if they won out, they still probably wouldn't get in. So I just don't get it. Well, I guess I do get it. It's the Bengals. They're a team and an organization where I just wouldn't expect them to do the right thing. Jay in Hamilton is next. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Joe. So yeah, we talked a little bit earlier this morning about, you know, who makes a decision to play, right? So, I mean, Joe has to tell the coach, yeah, I'm ready to go. So that's his decision. The coach, though, makes a decision, do I want to play you? And at the end of the day of all this, and I've really fallen on this sort of sword now, and I've debated this with even Buffalo with the way I feel this season is going and where I think it ultimately will end up. The Bengals should not be playing Burrow. They should just let the season, you know, unfold as it does. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Tank that season. Go get your revolutionary top 10 defensive player because their offense is set. And now you've got Joe Burrow as your quarterback. Get back on the horse next year, and you're back in this game. What they're doing is just stalling an incredible offense, which we wish we had in Buffalo. And I feel that same way with the Bills. I'm not talking about tanking for the Bills, but I said to myself on the weekend, if the Chiefs lost that game on the weekend and they ended up, say, losing out, and they get a top 10 pick, a revolutionary pick on whatever side of the ball they choose, with Mahomes as quarterback, they're back in the game next year, top 3 team no matter what. And I was kind of thinking the same thing for Buffalo, where at the end of the day, it'll end here. You've got to make sure that you're not putting your team in a position where they're spinning their bloody wheels and not capitalizing on the incredible talent you have at quarterback. And that's what the Bengals are doing. Like you said, not shocking, but they're missing a real opportunity. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, and also, if you're thinking, well, that's why you don't go all in on offense, is because look what's happening to the Bengals. That's not what's happening to the Bengals. The Bengals, here, they went all in on offense, but they could also invest in the defense, and they're choosing not to because they're cheap. You look at next season and beyond. Right now, like, compare the Bills to the Bengals, for instance. And the Bills aren't even number one. Like, money that's already spent for next season, there are, let's see, 3, 6, 7 teams that already have more money committed than the Bills. The Bills have committed $301 million to next year, right now. And they can make room if they need to, but so can every team. Cincinnati's at $237 million. It's like $70 million less. The next year, they have $104 million fewer committed than the Bills do. The following year after that, I mean, you see the trend here. They don't like to push their money out. So you might look up and see, like, oh, they have $11 million in cap space. They're spending money. Like, no, look out in the future. The Eagles do this more than anybody, but the Bills do it too. The Chiefs do it. You know, you're investing in your current team by committing money down the road. And Cincinnati doesn't do that. And that's why their defense stinks. Among some other reasons. I mean, I don't think they've drafted very well either. The Bengals. All right. I guess I would much rather be the Bills, clearly. Of the teams with the superstar quarterbacks, you know, you might think the Bills are failing Josh Allen. There's a lot of that out there right now, that they're wasting his prime, and there are some good reasons. There are some truthful reasons to back that up. And, you know, Baltimore might be saying the same thing about Lamar. But there's no doubt Cincinnati's doing it worse than any of these teams. Jared in Cheektowaga is next. What's up, Jared?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
How's it going? Happy Thanksgiving.
Good. I would happy Thanksgiving. I'd like to, two things. I listen pretty consistently. I don't really think I've ever heard this, but it may have came up. If Keon is so bad and on the outside, and I understand we have Kincaid and Shakir in the slot, mm-hmm. how come we don't ever just try it? Try him on the inside, try something different, move Shakir on the outside once, or try something else just to find out if it can work out, you know, in a different way. And that's number one. And then number two, and you can kind of see this is kind of the same thing with, you know, to mix in the Buffalo Sabres here. You know, we have the same guys that we draft, the same types of guys all the time. So what is it about the Bills or our organizations that we don't ever try outside the box draft picks? And lastly, Thanksgiving hot take is wild rice. That's by far my favorite
wild rice
dish. Wild rice.
Wild rice. What is that rice and what? You mean like, yeah. is there something special versus like what I would buy in the store?
Yeah, you got wild rice. There's like three or four different kinds of grains of rice.
Yep.
And you got cranberries and walnuts mixed in there with some spices.
All right. Thanks, Jared, for the call. How does it sound, guys?
Wild
rice with cranberries.
It's not the worst thing, right?
I
feel like if there was like ground turkey in there, you could really just say that's Thanksgiving in a bowl.
I'm not denying it's good, but if I saw that on the table, I'm not sure I would be like, ooh,
yeah,
what's that?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That'd be lucky to be a second plate pass.
Yeah, that's I got to be deep in my bag to get to the wild rice, I think, personally.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of sides lined up before the wild rice for me.
On Coleman, I think the only thing left to do with him is play him in the slot. I don't know that they'll do it. I don't know that he'll see the field for the Bills again. I think it's possible right now he never does. But if he does, out wide, it's over. He can't do it. He's bad at it. I don't care about the disciplinary stuff for this. He's not good at it. And it was predictable. Everyone said he probably wouldn't be. And he wasn't. So this year I've got 375 snaps out wide and 47 in the slot. That should be flipped. Play him in the slot. If you even care. If you care to think there's anything left there, then that's where it happens. But maybe it doesn't. Again, Cooks is now in the picture. Gabe is probably going to make it to the active roster, and him and Shavers, I think at this point, are going to be playing the position that Coleman was occupying before. So, I don't know. Like, I don't think there is anything left to do with him other than that.
The crazy thing is they drafted him to not be redundant and draft the same kind of a player that they already had on the roster, but in doing so, they did that and forced the player to go to the outside.
100%. 100%. Totally redundant. The thing he was best at last year, in fact, he was arguably best in the league. I think it was yards after catch over expectation, where he was number one. He was amazing at creating yards after the catch last year. What do you already have 1,000 of? Yards after catch. You didn't need that. And I don't think it was as big of a surprise as they might think it is. As a contested catch receiver in college, he ranked very low. He was not even efficient at it at Florida State. He was a punt returner at Florida State. Some of his biggest plays were created with yards after catch at Florida State. I think the Bills tried to make him something that he never was, and I don't think you should be surprised by that he can't do it. So I'm good. I'm good being done with him, but if they want to play him, I wouldn't be opposed to finding out what he looks like playing in a different role. 803-0550 is the phone number here on WGR.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Going to crack open the tweet sheet here for the first time in the show, brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. What did Week 12 tell us about the playoff picture in the AFC? Stevie says, last game ever in the stadium, currently known as Highmark, may be a win and get in versus the Jets. Could very well be a win that they need. It's going to be an AFC conference game. Who knows? Like we were talking about, if somehow, some way, the Bills run down the Patriots, they cannot be tied with them unless the Patriots lose their last three division games. If they lose to the Bills, they lose to the Dolphins, and they lose to the Jets, their division record will be 3-3. The Bills, the best they can do in the division is 4-2, and they would have to be if they were tied, because they would split the series. Then it goes to division record. They would have to have a superior division record. I suppose they could both be 3-3, and then it goes to the next tiebreaker. But you're going to need a lot to happen there. But, yeah, as far as getting into the playoffs, yeah, they might need that one. They might very well need that one. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all, which would be a twist and something different in the last week of the season. I mean, they had a throwaway game up in New England last year where all their backups were playing. That's probably not going to be the case this year. They're going to need every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jason says, pros, the AFC lacks any truly dominant teams and appears to be wide open. Small gap from one seed to the 10 seed. The cons, the Bills need to establish something they haven't been able to do yet this season. Consistency. They'll need at least 5 to 6 more wins to guarantee themselves a spot. He's bang on with that one because consistency has been hard to come by. Outside a win in the first 4 games, the Bills haven't done better than back-to-back wins in Week 8 and 9 with Carolina and the Panthers. Or, sorry, Carolina and Kansas City. So they won 4, lost 2, won 2, lost 1, won 1, lost 1.
Yep.
So they've traded wins and losses each of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of consistency.
And now they're on the road where they have not played well.
Yeah, where they are 2-3 on the season. So I can't disagree with that sentiment at all. Ken says the AFC playoffs will swing to the teams that adapt and adjust most effectively. No team is playing consistently at their best right now. So who rises and who falls? So, yeah, and Steve talks about this all the time. It's hard to play lights out, airtight football for 17 weeks. Have the Colts peaked too early? And are we starting to see them crest and descend?
and fall to the rest of the pack. Denver has had offensive problems with Bo Nix not being terribly accurate for stretches of games. What does that mean? And is Sertan back from injury? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You just heard Mike Giardi say the Patriots played down to the level of competition this week against Cincinnati.
And they lost both tackles during that game.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And a left guard.
And a left guard.
So it's hard to sustain an elite level of play all the way through the season. You know, even the Rams right now, which are the hottest team in football, are they going to be able to keep that up for the next month and a half?
It's hard. Right. We'll see. Somebody's going to be last man standing, and there's going to be some teams that are, you can feel, playing on an uptick as those, as they get into the playoffs. I've said a lot. You remember we get in those wild card playoff rounds where teams fight and claw and kick and scratch, like the Bills did in 2017 when McDermott first got here. The drought is broken. Man, they head into that next week, and you can just feel the emotional tide that they're rolling with. And those wild card rounds, sometimes you get some really good football games in those rounds. And then you get to the divisional round, and it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, it's harder to win those games because you got a team that's, you know, now you've kind of settled in, and it's just different. It's just really different. It used to be even worse when you had two teams getting the bye,
yeah,
rather than just one.
Let's head back to the phone lines where we do have open lines for you at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. To Bill in Kenmore. What's up, Bill?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A comment about Joe Brady. I was noticing in the game list with the Rams that when McVay was sitting there calling his plays that he would hold up his clipboard by his mouth so you couldn't see what he was saying. And I was wondering maybe Joe Brady ought to think about doing that when he's calling his plays.
Well, he's up in the booth. No one can really see him.
I know, but maybe, you know, somehow maybe they can somehow see that. They got some pretty smart guys in the league that can check things out. Anyway, another thing is that regarding the two injury players, Oliver Heck, have they ever thought about possibly using some kind of stem cell treatment? Because I know that that can really aid healing. The Tony Robbins, the big financial guru, I guess he messed himself up going down a ski board, and he was looking at like a maybe a 6 month rehab, and I guess he went to like Costa Rica in 6 weeks. He had a brand new shoulder with a stem cell treatment. I was wondering if maybe that might be something which, since Heck came out of the Los Angeles Rams organization, there maybe some doctors that are out there would know about this, and maybe they could recommend that to speed that healing up on his Achilles as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Bill. As I said earlier in the show, I am not a doctor. I could not speak to the prevalence of stem cell treatments for the injuries sustained by Michael Hoyt or Ed Oliver, which were an Achilles and a biceps, respectively. So I am not going to pontificate on that because I have no frame of reference as to whether or not, A, it's even an option, B, how successful they are, or C, whether the Bills know any doctors that do that and would do that for those injuries.
Even if the Bills don't know and the players do, they can go for a second opinion anytime they want.
Right.
So if it's out there and they want it, they can go get it. It's that simple. It might be on their own dime if it's something experimental like that or whatever it is you're talking about. It's available. If it's available to them, they can certainly go partake of it.
And I'll just tell you that you're worried about Joe Brady and somebody reading his lips when he's calling plays in. First of all, he's got a headset on with a mouthpiece in front of his mouth. Second, he's up in the booth, not on the field. And third, typically in the coach's booth, they blur out the neighboring windows. So even if you're sitting next to them at that level, which we have at times in the radio booth, we can't see in there because they've got the windows blurred and it's opaque. There's no way to see in. So if you're insinuating they got some guy in the upper deck
on the
with binoculars,
side,
you know, looking in there to try to read his lips and then discern exactly what he's saying and then relay the terminology, which other teams really don't know. I don't know. I guess you can never rule it out, but it seems pretty far-fetched. Belichick was still coaching in the league, I might be more apt to believe it.
You're not wrong. I mean, they hold the card up to their mouth for a reason.
Yeah, on the field, it's different.
They do get lip readers, see if they can discern what they're – and even in defensive play calls. The Patriots seemed back in the day to have a penchant for needing defensive signals for their offense. They notoriously cheated to get those defensive signals so that they could pirate them and have that. You heard players from this former Bills teams who knew that the Patriots were getting the Bills defensive signals with 13 seconds left on the play clock. Yeah, teams out there do their best to, well, call it what you want, cheat, whatever, to get those. So, yeah, it might be smart to cover your mouth up. Yeah. Why not?
Let's go to Dennis in North Carolina. What's up, Dennis? What do you got for us?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering, who's calling the play cards on defense? I know Bobby Babbage, but it seemed like to me that Buffalo's defense played better when McDermott calls the plays. And, I mean, I hope I'm not wrong, but the past two times I've been watching Buffalo play, I mean, I'm a true fan, but it's very heartbreaking, and I turn my TV off because I can't, you know.
Yeah, I get it, Dennis.
Anyways.
Yeah, with regard to the play calling on defense, we're never going to know to what degree Coach McDermott inserts himself. He has confirmed that it's a team effort on that side of the ball, which would lend credence to the belief that he has input and weighs in on some of the play calling. To what degree? I don't think we will ever know unless he or Bobby Babbage come out and say it directly. Oh, yeah, you know, he calls 50% of the game and I call 50% of the game. I would tend to believe that Coach McDermott would prefer to leave it all to Bobby Babbage. Now, when he feels something needs to be said or he sees something pre-snap that he recognizes from the previous play, he's going to chime in and let his coordinator know about it. As far as strict play calling goes, we've seen him do it before. He stepped in on Leslie Frazier and has taken play calling duties from him through the course of a game before on multiple occasions. So I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but it's very hard to discern, especially with the head coach on the sidelines and the coordinator upstairs. It's hard to discern exactly who is doing what and how much of it they are doing. So there's no way to truly know is my answer, I guess.
Right. But you can bet that there have been times when Sean McDermott has called the defenses this season, and there'll probably be more times coming up. It just happens, and it's – and he's not the only defensive head coach who's done it, and he won't be the last.
To Bob in Lockport. What do you got for us, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I'm not a Monday morning quarterback, so I just had something cute that I thought maybe I wanted to just, you know, throw out to you guys. I want to know your movie stars now on that Buffalo movie, so on Hallmark. Tell us about it.
Yeah, not stars. Cameo appearances, but thank you. Your words are a little inflated as far as we're concerned. We're not movie stars.
Yeah, I was on it for like 5 seconds.
And I was on for two. I was on for half that. So
there you go. But I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I will say this, though.
It was fun doing it.
When you turn the movie on, the first voice you hear is Chris Brown.
No, it's you.
No, I thought it was you.
No, you.
Oh, was that me?
I think it is.
Okay, it was us.
Oh, are you talking? Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
When the football game on.
Yeah, my voice is on. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was so fun. We enjoyed it.
I was pleasantly surprised and very pleasantly surprised with the movie. It exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
Hallmark movie, yes, but I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. Not just because I was in it or all that, but the Buffalo connection in it is spot on.
They unquestionably painted Buffalo in a very positive light, and the crew that was here when they did a lot of their shooting in May could not have been easier to work with. So, yeah, it was a real treat to kind of see how that end of the business works, you know, the movie-making industry.
Brownie and I were at the premiere two Saturdays ago, What a hoot. It was great. It couldn't have been better.
They had
it was
real
so much
reindeer
fun.
There.
Yeah, it was great.
Unbelievable.
It was great. So, yeah, it was a fun experience for us. And I'm sure, and I've, you know, of course, you know, when the thing premiered on Saturday night, I don't know if did your phone blow up?
Got a few texts,
yeah.
Got hit up on social media as
well.
Same
with me. So there you go. It was fun. And thanks. You.
There were watch parties like all over Western New York.
I recommend it.
So
go ahead, go watch it.
Yeah, it was good. I think you can get it on demand at the Hallmark Plus app, but it'll probably get re-racked on the Hallmark Channel too between now and Christmas.
Every Christmas it'll be coming by. It'll loop around.
Yeah, there you go. Got to take a break here. One segment to go. Some final thoughts on the tweet sheet next here on One Bills Live. Stay with us. Going to crack open the tweet sheet here for the first time in the show, brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. What did Week 12 tell us about the playoff picture in the AFC? Stevie says, last game ever in the stadium, currently known as Highmark, may be a win and get in versus the Jets. Could very well be a win that they need. It's going to be an AFC conference game. Who knows? Like we were talking about, if somehow, some way, the Bills run down the Patriots, they cannot be tied with them unless the Patriots lose their last three division games. If they lose to the Bills, they lose to the Dolphins, and they lose to the Jets, their division record will be 3-3. The Bills, the best they can do in the division is 4-2, and they would have to be if they were tied because they would split the series. Then it goes to division record. They would have to have a superior division record. I suppose they could both be 3-3, and then it goes to the next tiebreaker. But you're going to need a lot to happen there. But, yeah, as far as getting into the playoffs, yeah, they might need that one. They might very well need that one. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all, which would be a twist and something different in the last week of the season. I mean, they had a throwaway game up in New England last year where all their backups were playing. That's probably not going to be the case this year. They're going to need every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jason says, pros, the AFC lacks any truly dominant teams and appears to be wide open. Small gap from one seed to the 10 seed. The cons, the Bills need to establish something they haven't been able to do yet this season. Consistency. They'll need at least 5 to 6 more wins to guarantee themselves a spot. He's bang on with that one because consistency has been hard to come by. Outside a win in the first 4 games, the Bills haven't done better than back-to-back wins in Week 8 and 9 with Carolina and the Panthers. Carolina and Kansas City. So they won 4, lost 2, won 2, lost 1, won 1, lost 1.
Yep.
So they've traded wins and losses each of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of consistency.
And now they're on the road where they have not played well.
Yeah. Where they are 2-3 on the season. So I can't disagree with that sentiment at all. Ken says the AFC playoffs will swing to the teams that adapt and adjust most effectively. No team is playing consistently at their best right now. So who rises and who falls? So, yeah, and Steve talks about this all the time. It's hard to play lights out, airtight football for 17 weeks. Have the Colts peaked too early? And are we starting to see them crest and descend and fall to the rest of the pack? Denver has had offensive problems with Bo Nix not being terribly accurate for stretches of games. What does that mean? And is Sertan back from injury? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You just heard Mike Giardi say the Patriots played down to the level of competition this week against Cincinnati.
And they lost both tackles during that game. So we'll see.
And a left guard.
So
it's hard to sustain an elite level of play all the way through the season. You know, even the Rams right now, which are the hottest team in football, are they going to be able to keep that up for the next month and a half?
It's hard. Right. We'll see. Somebody's going to be last man standing, and there's going to be some teams that are you can feel playing on an uptick as they get into the playoffs. I've said a lot. You remember we get in those wild card playoff rounds where teams fight and claw and kick and scratch like the Bills did in 2017 when McDermott first got here. The drought is broken. Man, they head into that next week, and you can just feel the emotional tide that they're rolling with. And those wild card rounds, sometimes you get some really good football games in those rounds. And then you get to the divisional round, and it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, it's harder to win those games because you got a team that's, you know, now you've kind of settled in, and it's just different. It's just really different. It used to be even worse when you've got two teams getting the bye,
yeah,
rather than just one.
Let's head back to the phone lines where we do have open lines for you at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. To Bill in Kenmore. What's up, Bill?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A comment about Joe Brady. I was noticing in the game list with the Rams that when McVay was sitting there calling his plays that he would hold up his clipboard by his mouth so you couldn't see what he was saying. And I was wondering maybe Joe Brady, I think, about doing that when he's calling his plays.
Well, he's up in the booth. No one can really see him anyway.
I know, but maybe, you know, somehow maybe they can somehow see that. They got some pretty smart guys in the league that can check things out. Anyway, another thing is that regarding the two injured players, Oliver Heck, have they ever thought about possibly using some kind of stem cell treatment? Because I know that that can really aid healing. The Tony Robbins, the big financial guru, I guess he messed himself up going down a ski board, and he was looking at maybe a 6-month rehab, and I guess he went to like Costa Rica in 6 weeks. He had a brand new shoulder with a stem cell treatment. I was wondering if maybe that might be something which, since Heck came out of the Los Angeles Rams organization, there maybe some doctors that are out there would know about this, and maybe they could recommend that to speed that healing up on his Achilles as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Bill. As I said earlier in the show, I am not a doctor. I could not speak to the prevalence of stem cell treatments for the injuries sustained by Michael Hoyt or Ed Oliver, which were an Achilles and a biceps, respectively. So I am not going to pontificate on that because I have no frame of reference as to whether or not, A, it's even an option, B, how successful they are, or C, whether the Bills know any doctors that do that and would do that for those injuries.
Even if the Bills don't know and the players do, they can go for a second opinion anytime they want.
Right.
So if it's out there and they want it, they can go get it. It's that simple. It might be on their own dime if it's something experimental like that or whatever it is you're talking about. It's available. If it's available to them, they can certainly go partake of it.
And I'll just tell you that you're worried about Joe Brady and somebody reading his lips when he's calling plays in. First of all, he's got a headset on with a mouthpiece in front of his mouth. Second, he's up in the booth, not on the field. And third, typically in the coach's booth, they blur out the neighboring windows. So even if you're sitting next to them at that level, which we have at times in the radio booth, we can't see in there because they've got the windows blurred and it's opaque. There's no way to see in. So if you're insinuating they got some guy in the upper deck
on the
with binoculars,
side,
you know, looking in there to try to read his lips and then discern exactly what he's saying and then relay the terminology, which other teams really don't know. I don't know. I guess you can never rule it out, but it seems pretty far-fetched. If Belichick was still coaching in the league, I might be more apt to believe it.
You're not wrong. I mean, they hold the card up to their mouth for a reason.
Yeah, on the field, it's different.
They do get lip readers, see if they can discern what they're – and even in defensive play calls. The Patriots seemed back in the day to have a penchant for needing defensive signals for their offense. They notoriously cheated to get those defensive signals so that they could pirate them and have that. You heard players from this former Bills teams who knew that the Patriots were getting the Bills defensive signals with 13 seconds left on the play clock. Teams out there do their best to call it what you want, cheat, whatever. To get those, so yeah, it might be smart to cover your mouth up.
Yeah.
Why not?
Let's go to Dennis in North Carolina. What's up, Dennis? What do you got for us?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good,
good.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, who's calling to play cards on defense? I know Bobby Babbage, but it seemed like to me that Buffalo's defense played better when McDormand cards the plays. And, I mean, I hopefully I'm not wrong, but the past two times I've been watching Buffalo play, I mean, I'm a true fan, but it's very heartbreaking, and I turn my TV off because I can't, you know.
Yeah, I get it, Dennis.
Anyways.
Yeah, with regard to the play calling on defense, we're never going to know to what degree Coach McDermott inserts himself. He has confirmed that it's a team effort on that side of the ball, which would lend credence to the belief that he has input and weighs in on some of the play calling. To what degree? I don't think we will ever know unless he or Bobby Babbage come out and say it directly. Oh, yeah, you know, he calls 50% of the game and I call 50% of the game. I would tend to believe that Coach McDermott would prefer to leave it all to Bobby Babbage. Now, when he feels something needs to be said or he sees something pre-snap that he recognizes from the previous play, he's going to chime in and let his coordinator know about it. As far as strict play calling goes, we've seen him do it before. He stepped in on Leslie Frazier and has taken play calling duties from him through the course of a game before, on multiple occasions. So I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but it's very hard to discern, especially with the head coach on the sidelines and the coordinator upstairs. It's hard to discern exactly who is doing what and how much of it they are doing. So there's no way to truly know is my answer, I guess.
Right. But you can bet that there have been times when Sean McDermott has called the defenses this season, and there'll probably be more times coming up. It just happens, and he's not the only defensive head coach who's done it, and he won't be the last.
To Bob in Lockport. What do you got for us, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, good.
Listen, I'm not a Monday morning quarterback, so I just had something cute that I thought maybe I wanted to just, you know, throw out to you guys. I want to know your movie stars now on that Buffalo movie, so on Hallmark. Tell us about it.
Yeah, not stars, cameo appearances, but thank you. Your words are a little inflated as far as we're concerned. We're not movie stars.
Yeah, I was on it for like 5 seconds.
And I was on for two. I was on for half that. So
there you go. But I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I will say this, though.
It was fun doing it.
When you turn the movie on, the first voice you hear is Chris Brown.
No, it's you.
No, I thought it was you.
No, you.
Oh, was that me?
I think it is.
Okay, it was us.
Oh, are you talking? Yeah.
Right, when the first comes on.
The football game and the bar building.
There's a football game on.
Yeah, my voice is on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. We enjoyed it.
And I was pleasantly surprised and pleasantly surprised with the movie. It exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
Hallmark movie, yes, but I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. Not just because I was in it or all that, but the Buffalo connection in it is spot on.
They unquestionably painted Buffalo in a very positive light, and the crew that was here when they did a lot of their shooting in May could not have been easier to work with. So, yeah, it was a real treat to kind of see how that end of the business works, you know, the movie making industry.
Brownie and I were at the premiere two Saturdays ago. What a hoot. It was great. It couldn't have been better.
It was real
so
reindeer
fun.
There.
Yeah, it was great.
Unbelievable.
It was great. So, yeah, it was a fun experience for us. And I'm sure, and I've, you know, of course, you know, when the thing premiered on Saturday night, I don't know if did your phone blow up?
Got a few texts,
yeah.
Got hit up on social media as
same
well.
Same with me. So there you go. It was fun. Thanks. Yeah.
There were watch parties like all over Western New York.
I recommend it.
So
go ahead, go watch it.
Yeah, it was good. I think you can get it on demand at the Hallmark Plus app, but it'll probably get re-racked on the Hallmark Channel too between now and Christmas.
Every Christmas it'll be coming back. It'll loop around.
Yeah, there you go. Got to take a break here. One segment to go. Some final thoughts on the tweet sheet next here on One Bills Live. Stay with us.
bring home a winter wonderland. Shop Lowe's limited-time doorbuster deals during Black Friday to save big on holiday staples. Show your cheer with select 2-quart poinsettias for $6 and shine and shimmer with 100-count holiday living incandescent string lights, now 4 for $10. Then get a fresh-cut Christmas tree, now 25% off. Your holiday list lives at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offers valid through 12-1. Poinsettias and fresh-cut trees in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.